The following interview was conducted on September 28th here at the Sun Radio Studios. It aired for the first time on October 3rd on a Hill Country Saturday. The recorded songs were scoped out of the interview for performance rights reasons. It's a Hill Country Saturday here on Sun Radio. I'm Kevin Connor, and Lucas Nelson was nice enough to stop by the studios, the new studio.
Yeah.
He saw me. He said, wait a minute. Is this a different studio?
This is different.
We're in Far East Austin now.
It's fancier. I like the butler. That's a nice touch.
Well, you know, we all had to take a little cut to make butler pay.
Yes. And then you have to tip him. So then there's that, you know.
I know. It's a daily
it's
thing.
Expensive, yeah.
And he has a lot of expectations.
Yeah, but the fact that he's from England just sort of gives an air of
classes up the
class, yeah, to the place. Yeah, I like it.
Well, it's good to have you back in our studio, no matter where it is. This is, I think, your third Sun Radio studio.
Yes.
I think we're going to be here for a while.
Awesome.
And you are now at the point we're airing this way back out on the road somewhere in support of the fine new album. The first one is simply called Lucas Nelson, American Romance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful album. What I've been hearing on it, more acoustic than electric guitars.
But I feel like I'm going to put out a lot of records, and this was a record I wanted to put out that was just really focused on vocals, melody, and song writing and lyrics. And, you know, I put out a lot of albums with Promise of the Real, as you know, with a lot of guitar on it and a lot of, like, you know, really long, extensive jams and arrangements. And I've been in a place myself where I'm just like, I really like the idea of a short story, of a haiku, of saying a lot with a little, and only doing, I mean, there still is electric guitar on this album, but it's just, I'm trying to learn about only playing where it needs to be played in the song, you know, because the song to me is more important than when you go play live. You can stretch out a little bit, you can play it differently, you can rearrange it. But yeah, so that to me, that's where I've been. And, you know, the next album may be completely different. It might be full on Led Zeppelin rock and roll, that kind of vibe. You know, who knows? You know, David Bowie meets country soul. I don't know.
It seems like All God Did is something that could lend itself to a big electric jam.
Yeah, All God Did, we played the first night here at the Paramount. And, yeah. And you know, that's one that we really like putting in the set, you know.
But there's a bunch of songs that are more mid-tempo, maybe down-tempo songs that that I really like. Montana.
Yeah.
Friend in the End.
Oh, yeah. With Sierra Farrell, which
yeah.
is great.
Two-time Americana Artist of the Year.
Yes, absolutely.
And the title track, American Romance, is just beautiful stuff. And like you say, they're about songs. They're about the voice. They're about
the voice. I want to evoke imagery. I want to paint a picture. And that's what I was going for this album, you know. Because the first song I ever wrote is on this album.
I know.
And it was acoustic. It was just me and a guitar. And it was, you know, I was 11 years old. And that's the root of who I am. That was before I studied Stevie Ray and Jimi Hendrix and all those guys, you know. And so in my first solo, if you will, album, I mean, I don't even call it solo because I still got a lot of the guys from the band that play with me. But in that first foray as Lucas Nelson, as an artist, I wanted to strip myself down to where I started, and then I can always build from there and go and, like, you know, draw from different influences on the new records that I put out later on.
So you're 11, you have this song, and maybe you didn't study him, but it's definitely got a feel like classic songs from your dad.
Oh, well, I mean, I couldn't help but study him. He was, you know, was
right there
absorbing it, you know. Yeah.
But wasn't it another great songwriter that said, hey, kid.
Yeah.
You're a songwriter.
Yeah. That was Kris Kristofferson. Yeah. And he was my other biggest influence and mentor as a songwriter, and really inspired me at that moment and, you know, subsequently in the years to follow. To be a, you know, songwriter and to do this, and that's what kind of gave me the confidence. You know, it's like when a little kid shows talent at something, you know, that all it takes sometimes is a little bit of nurturing of that and a little bit of encouragement. And for me, once I got that, I decided, okay, I'm going to work like an Olympic athlete then. If I have a little bit of talent And I credit my younger self to just like not being afraid to work hard and put in the talent and having the discipline even at 11 to say, okay, you're going to need to really work your ass off. And I still love working. That's just kind of what I love to do, you know.
Before music became the main thing, you were going to be an Olympic swimmer.
I loved swimming. I liked how, I mean, I like the measurable success of sports, you know, like no one can argue with a broken record. Like you know, you break the record of a 50-meter freestyle, and that's it. No one can argue with that.
Scoreboard.
No one can say that it was nepotism or this or that, you know. It's just, you did it. Music is more about interpretation and all of that. But there's more longevity in music, I think. There's more freedom in music. There's more creativity in music. And my brain required, and my soul and my heart and my mind, all of it, required more than just the cold reality of sports life, you know.
If you made the LA Olympics next year, they're just, all they talk about is how old you are.
Exactly.
Can't believe a guy in his late 30s. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Mid to late 30s.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We're talking with Lucas Nelson, former Olympic swimmer.
Yes.
And now,
you
got that guitar. I'm happy to just play songs off the album, but since you brought that beautiful Red Gibson, is there something off the record that sounds good just the way you wrote it, just with you and the guitar?
Yeah. Well, this song I kind of wrote about, you know, perseverance through tough times with my friend Aaron Ratier, who's a great songwriter. Oh boy, can I do this in the morning time? I'm gonna pull this away just because I'm gonna have to shout a little bit. And this is like kind of a story about hitting rock bottom and realizing you just wait it out like the weather, it'll come around. Well, if I ever reach the top, or if I sank to the bottom like a sea block, if everything stays sweet just like it is, or if I'm ever thinking about calling it quits, I'll reach down deep inside my soul and I remember something I was told. From the time you're born to the time you're through, there's a guarantee with every evening sun. Nothing lasts and God ain't done. And who knows what lies around the bend?
Lucas Nelson.
A little early for that.
You went right for the hard one.
Yeah, I know.
The high notes.
Yeah.
God Ain't Done from American Romance. Lucas Nelson on a Hill Country Saturday here on Sun Radio. There's a couple of songs with God in the title, a couple of references to God, which I found interesting. The other one.
All God Did.
Yeah, is just more like God as a character.
In
an adventure story and everything.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It made me think when I was driving around the other day listening to the record. I was thinking, what does Lucas think of old God? Do you think about it much?
Yeah, I think about this like force of nature, you know, that is, I feel like, what I call God. It's the unfolding natural world and the connectedness between all living things. And it does feel like there's this grand orchestration of everything. And so I don't think the mind can understand it. The idea of the source of all things is sort of beyond human comprehension. But I do like to contemplate on it, and just I like the humility it brings me. You know, the idea that, you know, I'm part of something way bigger. And I think it was Rumi or Hafiz. I think it was Rumi who said, "You're not a drop in the ocean. You're the entire ocean in a drop." Whoa. Which I think is pretty. It's pretty beautiful.
And he wasn't even smoking anything.
Oh, I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. They were all doing like weird opium back then.
Well, I've heard you say in a couple of different interviews that you've been kind of on a sobriety path for a while.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that I don't like to think of it that way. Generally, I just like to think of it one day at a time, making choices that are good for me and being addicted to that. You know what I mean? Like I get addicted to the feeling that I have with myself when I feel good about decisions that I made. It gives me an actual physical, emotional feeling of sort of like this warm feeling that I'm like doing well for me. And yeah. and that feeling is addictive. So I'm just addicted to different things, you know. I'm high off of that. I wouldn't even say I'm sober. I'm just high off something different.
There you go.
You know.
Yeah. You probably started earlier than most kids, perhaps.
Yeah.
And you've been around it. You've
yeah,
been
I mean,
there,
I was
done
doing,
that almost.
I was doing, you know, pretty mind-expanding drugs when I was like 13. So I went through, you know, that deep dark night of the soul of exploration and asking myself really hard questions about the meaning of life. And, you know, I went through all that young.
Yeah.
And then I started saying, well, God, you're asking way too many questions and you're not living. So all that exploration led me to like the idea, like, okay, like maybe for me now the journey is to try and be really wherever I'm at in the most present way, rather than like searching constantly for something different. Now the goal is to like find the holiness in every moment.
Be here now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the beat? You see a beat? I didn't see a beat.
We're talking with Lucas Nelson. I'm Kevin Connor. I've been kind of going through the same thing, and I don't talk about it on the radio very much. In fact, I really haven't at all. I've kind of hinted at it, but I just passed the 18-month mark of not having so much as a sip of booze.
Oh, amazing. Congratulations.
Well, it's kind of like I realize that's the longest I've gone without a beer since probably ninth grade.
Nice.
And
that's a long time.
I know. But like you said, there is kind of a satisfaction, maybe mm-hmm. even a high from not.
Oh, my God.
Or just saying, no, yeah. Thanks. No,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, I get high from saying no. It's like this great, amazing feeling to say no and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's actually spreading because there's a lot of young people who are making that decision now. There's a lot of people who are being, you know, and I think the pressure of the social stigma of drinking is what kept people so locked into that pattern for so long. And I think it's now starting to lift where I meet a lot of people who think it's cooler to be clear than not. You know, I think that's kind of a trend, which I like. You know, I think that's smart because we'll live a lot longer and we'll make better decisions. You know?
Yeah, maybe, hopefully.
Well, look, I mean, living long isn't necessarily the key. It's living well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, we will live longer if living well is the key. You know, we'll live. If truly living is like actually being happy and enjoying your life and make, you know, and being there, you know, for the things around you and the people around you, and then yeah, you know, like yeah, we'll be here. That will be, you'll extend the time period that you're truly living, which is what matters. You know?
We're talking with Lucas Nelson. Another thing that I was going to ask, I wrote down God, sobriety, hair. Hair. You're all clean cut now. Now, in Promise of the Real days, there was some hair going on.
Yes, yes.
Is it just change of pace? Or is it image? Is it anything to do with public image at all? Or is it just like,
I guess, I felt like in a way, like, you know, I started to get disenfranchised, I think, with this has nothing to do with my hair, by the way. I cut my hair because it's a lot easier to manage. It's a very practical reason.
There you go.
You know, it's a lot easier to manage. I can, you know, I don't have to brush it and get knots out of it and, you know, run a brush through it and have it pull and it hurts. And I just hate that, you know.
And you don't have your mom to be your personal hairdresser all the time like your dad does.
Yeah.
I've seen her on stage before.
Yeah.
My
mom is like an incredible force in my dad's life, you know. So
he looks after him.
Yeah, she really does. She's kept him alive this long, and you know, I have the deepest respect for that. But she's an amazing person, and I hope to find you know, a wife like her. You know, 24 years younger. Just kidding. I don't think I would be able to do that.
You got to wait a little while on that.
I really think that she is the reason he's alive, and that's you know. Yeah, I think also on the another hand, like there's a stigma for long hair. There's a culture of long hair, and I met a lot of people who I would call spiritual narcissists. You know, that I kind of got disenfranchised with this idea that like a lot of people have this image that they present of being spiritual and like, you know, peace and love. They use that as an excuse to just not take responsibility for themselves, their actions, not really self-reflect, make excuses for it. It's the same as a religion in a way. It's like, you know, people like they do things that I think are objectively terrible and, you know, make an excuse that that's just part of their journey and, you know, that they're just growing. And, you know, I don't know. Part of that just really bothered me over time. And I started to just kind of, you know, adopt a more like I felt like, you know, I respect the groundedness of those who are really kind of practical and responsible inwardly, someone who you could depend on in life that values loyalty, that values things that matter in life, because, you know, a lot of times spirituality deals with what happens after life, and everybody's worried about that. But like I'm more concerned with like being, you know, being a good friend, being a good boyfriend or husband when that comes, being a good father when that comes, you know, I see a lot of people just like using spirituality as an excuse to say, oh, well, nothing really matters and it's all part of flow and all that. And I'm just like not into that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have anything to do with my hair necessarily, but it does somehow tie into it in a weird way. I don't know.
So.
Yeah. And you know, the hard thing is often the right thing to do. And it's hard to be clear-headed. It's hard to, you know, stay there and be there when things are tough. It's easy to bail, you know what I mean?
We're talking to Lucas Nelson. Well, I want to play another song off of American Romance in a second, but also you were talking about life and a song that Eddie Vedder wrote. In the course of a week, I think you sang it with your dad, you sang it with Willie at Farm Aid, and then sang it with Eddie at Ohana, his festival.
Yeah.
Beautiful song. I was listening. It might have been on Willie's channel when Eddie called in and said it was one of the great honors of his life that you guys cut it. Mm. It seems to be becoming even more poignant as your dad gets older.
Yeah.
A lot of people said it was the highlight of Farm Aid. Did you feel that?
Oh, man. I don't know. There's so many highlights, you know.
There
were so many great things about Farm Aid. There were so many amazing artists on Farm Aid. But it was maybe a highlight, you know.
Yeah. Let's play it right now. This is Willie and Lucas Nelson and Eddie Vedder's song, Just Breathe. Just Breathe. Willie and Lucas Nelson on Sun Radio. A song written by Eddie Vedder. And Lucas just performed it with Eddie at his festival and then at Farm Aid. 40 years of Farm Aid. I didn't go to the first one, but the second one at Maynard Downs, that was awesome. It was on the 4th of July. Just east of town.
Right.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
That was a real good time. We were at another festival 8 years ago, the ACL festival. You were performing with Promise of the Real. And Tom Petty had just passed away.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you said, I think Tom Petty's birthday should be a national holiday.
Right.
Well, it is here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we started couple of us looked at each other and we just nodded, and Ben Bethea and I, and then and Denver O'Neill, and then we started doing Tom Petty.
Oh, I think I remember this. We talked about this last time.
Yeah, 24 hours of Tom Petty on his birthday, which is October 20th, coming up soon. Yeah, and someday you'll be here when we have the big concert, so we'll work it out. Tom Petty, one of the major musical figures for you. What was it about Tom Petty's music that really struck you?
Well, he was a great example of like a great balance between like with Mike Campbell having like the guitar work that really just spoke to the song. But then also, you know, he focused on his vocals and his lyrics and the melodies, and were the really just catchy songs.
Yeah.
Damn the Torpedoes was like a whole album of up-tempo stuff and amazing songs, just like a complete album of incredible music.
Yeah.
I always like look up to that, and like hopefully we'll have the inspiration to write something like that at some point one day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We're doing it again. So, but I think you're on the road. I checked on that a couple of months ago. You'll be somewhere.
I'll be it.
But you're here now. Be Here Now, Lucas Nelson, exactly. American Romance, and just so many great songs on the record. The title track, I don't know if I have a favorite. Disappearing Light is cool because you're singing this song and all of a sudden the second voice comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first listened and I didn't really look at the record at first, I was like, is that Stapleton? Who is that? No, but it's Stephen Wilson Jr. And I don't know still who that is. I tried to look him up, and nothing much shows up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, oh, man, he's hot right now.
Is he?
He's an up-and-coming country artist.
Okay.
He's really, really, really great. And, I mean, up-and-coming, he's as old as I am, but he's just really now starting to get discovered by a lot of people. And he's a brilliant songwriter, former boxer. You know, he's just an amazingly well-rounded guy. I mean, he wrote an album that was, I think, produced by Ben West, that's done really well. His streaming numbers are off the charts. I mean, the guy has a lot of great songs, and you just look on Spotify, you know, and check it out. But I'm an Apple Music man myself. Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, see, you know what? It's funny. Like Apple Music is all right, but like for artists, it's actually better. Because people go to Spotify, and it's the only platform that shows the amount of views and spins on it.
Oh.
And that really does well for an artist. If those views are high, then the labels come after you, the label thing. So it's like you kind of – it's a bad thing because they don't pay the artist as well. But like it's like on the other hand, you want people to go to Spotify because you want those numbers really high.
So
if your Spotify numbers are low, then obviously it's like kind of like, oh, you know, it feels like you're not doing as well, even though it's all bullshit.
What is your relationship with Nashville?
I love Nashville. I have a great team at Sony Nashville. I love them. They've been doing great for me for this album, and I have a lot of good friends there and songwriters that I work with all the time. I always go there and write and get inspired and you know, come away with five songs every time I go there. So it's great.
The town is booming, just like Austin. Seems almost like we're in a race sometimes. It's like, slow down, guys.
Yeah. I mean, Austin's booming in a different direction, I feel like. It's more like tech-focused here.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, a little more entrepreneurs in different avenues. You know.
It is harder to be an Austin musician now, financially, business-wise.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You're still getting the same pay as 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but rent's not cheap anymore.
No, it's probably, driving a lot of artists out. It's kind of what happened in San Francisco. It drove a lot of artists out to Oakland.
Let's pick another song off the new record.
Yeah.
That
you'd
like to play.
I'm trying to think of what I can sing this early.
American Romance doesn't push it too hard.
That's true, but I have to retune the whole guitar for that. It's an open G tuning, which is...
No worries.
But I can do this one. Last night I woke up to a raging river that tore through my house and doused all my clothes. I called out for you. I was cold and shivering, a sliver of light where my happiness grows. I called up to you. A great snowy mountain, a great snowy mountain, a peak 5 miles high. I sank into you like a great explorer who's finally found him a bed for the night. And the clouds blew south and the rain thinned out, and the sky was all sunlight again. I guess I just found me a friend. I think I can call you my friend in the end. And this morning I woke to the sound of the seashore. The ocean was calm as it nuzzled the sand, and I held on to you with peace and forgiveness, knowing one day you let go of my hand. And the cloud blew south and the rain thinned out, and the sky was all sunlight again. I guess I just found me a friend. I think I can call you my friend in the end.
Lucas Nelson, Friend in the End. And on the album, he gets a little vocal help from Sierra Farrell on that.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of her voice.
Love it. So good.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. And there's three or four songs that just kind of fit in that same kind of groove for me as a listener,
mm-hmm.
Including the title track, including Montana.
Yeah.
And
The Montana and American Romance, I have in open G, so I have to do that. If I would have had to have prepared.
That's where the guitar tech hands exactly. You a different guitar.
He does, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So that's good.
Well, was there any place that you got 3 nights, and when you're on tour, you don't get 3 nights in Austin, but you had 3 nights here. Mm-hmm. Is there anything like, oh, we got to hit there, whether it be food or to go swimming or anything?
Oh, well, I went and played Muni, Lions Municipal Golf Course.
Save Muni.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing a few benefits for them over the years, and it's a really fantastic place. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You know, and
UT's got plenty of money and plenty of land. They can build stuff somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Leave
yeah.
that there.
I'm confident we'll be able to keep it there and make it, you know, preserve it for Austin. It's also just such a beautiful piece of land that's all that green, all those trees, all that, you know, it's part of Austin, you know, it's part of what makes it so great.
Well, Lucas, it's a pleasure to have you back here in home.
Yeah, thank you.
Please tell your mom I said hi. Not only your dad, but your mom.
I will.
We haven't talked in a long time, but she and I had a long chat on camera, actually, about biodiesel one time up at Carl's Corner. She knows her biodiesel.
She's an intelligent person.
Well, the whole family.
Yeah.
The whole family is.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm glad you got to spend a little bit of time here in one of your two hometowns.
Thank you.
Home states.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Lucas Nelson.